Hello, and welcome back to the Type Theory Commute. I'm Aaron Stump. We're talking about subtyping. The last episode, I extolled its potential wonders for pure functional programming. But now I want to return to talking about this Mitchell paper, Type Inference for Simple Subtypes. And I want to try to summarize a little bit about the algorithm. So Mitchell has this algorithm, which it takes a term of untyped lambda calculus, just a pure lambda term, variables, applications, and lambda abstractions. That's it. And given such a term, it could have free variables, by the way. It doesn't have to be a closed term. It will compute for you a typing context. So it'll say, you know, it'll tell you what types the free variables should have. It'll compute for you a type for the term, and it'll compute for you a set of subtyping constraints that should hold for the term to have that type with that assignment of types to the type variables. So this is quite remarkable, and a couple episodes back we sort of talked about why it's not quite so crazy that you can type every term, so I won't go back into that now. But that sort of interesting thing is Mitchell makes a case that, you know, usually you think of a type inference algorithm as, I mean, I would have thought that in this sort of setting, you would want to know some typing context as part of the input to the type inference algorithm, and maybe even subtyping constraints as part of the input. And then the type inference algorithm's job would simply be to compute a type for the term under that typing context and set of subtyping constraints. But Mitchell makes a pretty good case that that is kind of problematic because there might not be a minimal type in that case. He gave an example. I'm a little bit scared to try to walk through it on air just because I'm a little worried I wouldn't quite remember. I do remember. Okay, so he said, if you think about the term, like, okay, so let's think about, actually, I think we're going to go in the weeds on that. Anyway, he gives an example in the paper to show that there's not really a natural minimal type you could compute for a term, and with given a set of subtyping constraints and types for the free variables. And so but on the other hand, he is able to prove in the paper that his algorithm is guaranteed to give you a minimal typing. So any typing you could have for this term is going to be an instance of the one he gives you. So in other words, he's going to give you a type, like let's say lambda xx. Now, his algorithm throws a lot of what seem like kind of extraneous extra type variables. They're actually not extraneous, naturally. In fact, the theorems involved pretty much prove that they are not extraneous. But it feels a little bit like there's goodness, the algorithm at all these different steps adds a type variable and some subtyping constraint related to that type variable. So I'm not even, let's see. I don't quite dare to sort of summarize what type he would compute for that. But the typing he would compute, any other typing you would have would be an instance. I mean, so to take a simple case, let's not take that case. So anyway, still, it's a bit different from what you might expect. You give the algorithm a term, and it computes for you all the other information. So this is kind of interesting. Now, one thing, and I want to go back and look at Benjamin Pierce's Types in Programming Languages book, which is in programming languages, you know, study is a reference that is much beloved for all different manners related to types and programming languages. And I would like to go back and look because I kind of remember the subtyping that the typings that Mitchell's algorithm computes, one of the reasons they're putting these type variables everywhere is that, and subtyping constraints related to them, is for this sort of situation. Like normally I think of subtyping as like, well, I've got a function that wants an A and I have an argument that's of type B, but hey, good news, B is a subtype of A, so I can call that function with that argument. That's great. And that's certainly, you know, correct example of subtyping. But in Mitchell's case algorithm, there's more that than that, because imagine you had a function. So there you were coercing the argument, but you might need to coerce the function. That seems a little strange, right? So here we're saying, I need to change, like I got f applied to a, and I need to change the type of a with a coercion. But you might also need to change the type of f with a coercion. Why is that? Well, suppose f, I mean, not in the context of Mitchell's algorithm, but just in general, suppose you're assuming that f has type x, let's say, but that x is a subtype of y arrow y, and you've got an input of type y. Okay, so that means to call that function, you actually can't coerce the input because the function doesn't, f has type x, it doesn't even have a function type. You're not gonna be able to call that thing at all unless you coerce the function. So you change its type. And so sure enough, in the algorithm, Mitchell's algorithm, we're basically need to allow coercions pretty much at any point inside a term. So the algorithm, you know, starts with the term, and there's just three cases. What typing do I compute for a variable? What typing do I compute for an application? And what typing do I compute for a lambda abstraction? One somewhat interesting thing is, since you compute the typings independently, like when it comes to the application case, right? You got like a function f called with input a, and you recursively, the type inference algorithm computes a minimal typing. I mean, we prove later that it's minimal. Computes a minimal typing for f, and it also computes minimal typing for a. Now that means that if f and a had some free variables in them, then those typings are going to have, you know, one. The first typing would have said x has this type, and the second typing would have said x has some other type. And you have to unify those. And in fact, Mitchell actually invokes a unification algorithm to unify the types that a particular variable x, term variable now, might have in two different typings. So that's kind of an interesting feature. So you do use unification in this algorithm, which you type in unification is a workhorse of type inference generally, but you don't use it the same way that you do in Hindley-Milner type inference, where you're generating constraints and then solving them. Here you're just computing constraints. And there's no, I mean, I guess it's maybe not an apples to apples comparison in that sense, because you're computing constraints and you're not going to solve the constraints. There's subtyping constraints that are just telling you, if these subtyping constraints were to hold, then the term you told me is going to have this particular type. So anyway, that's about as much detail as I feel I can manage to go through without having the paper in front of me, because here I am driving my car when I like to record these episodes. And also it might get a little detailed. Even if I could read it, it might be a little hairy to listen to it. So, okay, so again, thanks for listening today. And if you have any thoughts about subtyping and functional programming, or you got any questions, or you can take up my find the bug in Mitchell's proof of, oh gosh, I don't have the theorem with me now. We don't have the paper, so I don't remember what theorem is. But go back two episodes, and I mentioned that there is a bug in, you can find it on a single page. It's a simple bug. It is a mathematical bug. It's not a typo or something like that. And, you know, chime in and report it and earn yourself smarty pants points. Okay, thanks for listening. Take care.